Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with host Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm going to make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen.
And we're starting something a little bit different today, right, Aileen?
Righto, Sammy.
Yeah. So, to be honest, I am on vacation and Aileen is in the throes of pregnancy and possibly will have given birth by the time this comes out. So we wanted to prepare like a four-part series, but basically the theme of it is sort of like an examination over four episodes of how like TV and movies and pop culture have affected our, like, the way we see ourselves, our bodies, like how we are self-image and self-esteem. So for the first episode, we're going to talk about like specific clips and movies and scenes that really like made a mark on us. And then in the next episode, the two of us, you all submitted some of those for yourself. So we're going to talk about those. And then in episode three, we're going to talk about how like the TV and movie landscape is now. Has it improved? Has it like helped us reckon with our bodies and our eating issues in a new way? And then for our fourth episode, the creator of the show Physical, Annie Weissman, we interviewed her and had a really amazing conversation to sort of like fit in with all of this. So are you ready, Aileen?
I am ready. Also, a lot of these things, I feel like we didn't know that they were affecting us.
No.
Or like the ones that some of you submitted, you weren't cognizant of the fact that it was affecting you. But like looking back now, you realize, oh shit, like I kind of remember that. And it's weird that I remember that. And the fact that I remember it means it affected me. So
yeah,
right? Like otherwise you'd forget it. So how should we get started? Should we just, Sammy, do you want to go with your first one?
Yeah, this isn't the first thing that affected me, but it was a very pivotal one in that it glamorized eating disorders, particularly bulimia, to me in like a way that like actually caused me to try to act on it when that had never happened because of something I saw in media before. Like the rest of the examples I'll give, like they didn't actually affect my actions and this one did. And it is the Thanksgiving episode from Gossip Girl where Blair throws up her pie and Sean is going to play a clip of it.
Claire, you haven't touched your food. I'm dying. What has gotten into you?
So her mom says that to her, and then she leaves the table, goes into the kitchen, she stuffs a whole pie in her face, and then she goes throws it up, and Serena comes and, like, rescues her. Okay, not only the way that it was, like, glamorized, but because she looked, like, beautiful and thin, and her hair was perfect while doing it, and she looked, like, healthy, it also, like, was solved. You know what I mean? Like, it was never an ongoing problem again that was referenced, mm-hmm. and it wasn't, like... But I think if you have really severe bulimia, like, you're not functioning. And
they made it casual, very casual, right?
Yeah, like a severe disorder like that really takes over your life in a way that they make it seem like is so extraneous to her.
Right. It's just like a casual thing she did.
In one episode.
Which, I don't know. Like, do you think that affected more people? I must have. I mean... You said you tried it after?
Like, I told you, like, I, like, in college, I, like, tried to, like, make myself throw up. And I think that it, I think it was, like, partially, like, given, like, you know, the green light by, like, I loved Gossip Girl, like Blair Waldorf and her headbands. Like, I feel like the glamour of it made me feel like, oh, like,
they didn't address it. They didn't address that it was bad.
They addressed that it was bad, but not as bad as it was. Like, they made it seem like a silly, cute issue, not like a debilitating mental disorder.
Well, that brings me to one of my examples, similar topic. Center Stage. I feel like you also agree with this one. Center Stage was an amazing movie, first of all. But seeing it as a young girl and like the way that it sort of glamorized dancing at the end of that movie, I remember being like, I want to be a dancer. I want to dance at the ballet. But I was like, I'm not thin enough to do that. But that was like always like, I'm not thin enough. I mean, I could picture myself dancing, but even though I did dance when I was younger, like I have pictures of it. And I was like, I just am not thin enough for this, because in the movie, they make it such a thing about their weight. And one of the main characters, Maureen, has an eating disorder, and it sort of comes out throughout the movie. And it's like the mom who's sort of making it that she has one, right? Like that's the pressure of her bulimia. And she does drop out at the end. So I liked that they sort of show that it was unhealthy and she recognized that it was unhealthy. That said, I remember watching it and being very confused about what she was doing.
Yes.
I was like, what does this mean? Like, why, what is she doing in the bathroom and why? And then I was like, she's throwing up. I'm like, why? And it sort of explained eating disorders to me. I've never knew about bulimia until I kind of saw this movie. Right?
Yes. But also, okay. They also gave it like the Blair Waldorf treatment, where it's just like a quick moment and then you're fine. Because even when she quits ballet at the end, sorry if we spoiled it for you guys. When she quits, she doesn't say, I'm quitting because this is giving me an eating disorder. She says, I'm quitting because this is not my dream, Mom. It's your dream. And it means more to you than it ever did to me. So it never had, didn't say, like, this is giving me an eating disorder. I can't, like, you know what I mean? She didn't make it about, like, the real mental health issue. She was like, I actually just don't want to pursue your dream.
Right. But her dream, but it was connected, because she was pursuing her mom's dream at like the detriment of her own health, because she was making herself thinner as a way of like pursuing the dream.
Right.
Right. Should we play the clip? Let's play the clip.
Anyone want a fruit tart for the road?
Yeah, I'll take one. It's practically all fat, Emily.
Hello, Emily. I'm Jim Gordon.
Hi.
So you guys what, work here?
Do you remember that girl, Emily, got kicked out because she had like gained weight?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that's Maureen saying it's practically all fat. Yeah. Right.
And then Emily has to leave in the middle of the movie. And they imply it's because she like gained weight and like wasn't good enough anymore.
And also, all throughout this whole thing is that Jody, the main character, doesn't like have the ideal body for dancing. Like that was the whole thing. And that's why in the end it was such a rebellion of the way that she goes about like the dance routine, and she does like the sexy dance on the bed and then she like doesn't go to, or she goes to Cooper's dance company. Speaking of this movie, I remember walking to work when back in the day when we would go to work in an office, I saw Charlie like twice on my way, and I saw him, I was like, who's that, and I was like, oh, that's Charlie from Center Stage. And he looks almost the same. Charlie's like the good boy ballet dancer.
Yeah.
Cooper was the bad boy ballet dancer.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so much in that movie.
Especially because it made dancing like
glamorous.
Like if you're a young girl, you're like, I want to be a dancer. Yeah.
When she goes to that like studio, the shady studio, and she does the dance to Higher Grounds, like I can't tell you the number of times I've tried to like do that dance in my like stupid, like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I could not though. And again, the message I did get from that was like, you must be very thin, or it doesn't look as good, or something.
Does she reject Cooper? Which one does she reject? She rejects at the end?
She rejects Cooper and she goes with the...
No. She rejects the main American Ballet company, but she goes to work with Cooper. But she doesn't date Cooper.
Yeah, she dates the other guy.
She gets with Charlie.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is a great lesson.
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> That was a good lesson in the end.
Yeah.
For career and love.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Do you remember a Vanity Fair magazine spread from... I don't know what year it was. Must have been like 2001 or 2002. And the people on the front of it were Amanda Bynes, the Olsen twins, Mandy Moore, Hilary Duff, Alexis Bledel. Who's that girl? And Rachel Wood, Raven Simone, and Lindsay Lohan. And they're wearing like blush neutral colors mostly. And they all, every single one of them is like a beautiful, like there's not a single larger body there. They all just look so chic for the time. They don't look chic for now, but like they, like the homogeneity of like the perfect hair and the perfect body and the thin arms and the thin legs. Like I remember just thinking like, okay, this is what I need to look like. Like this is the map. And the two things that like stuck out to me in particular was Amanda Bynes' outfit where she's wearing this like cute, she's wearing a skirt and like a t-shirt and like her stomach is showing, and I was like, I need, like, that's what I need to be able to wear.
That was such a thing. Also, I'm looking at this, I don't remember this, but I'm looking at it now because it's in our outline. Like Hills Doof also has that little midriff showing.
Yeah.
And it was such a thing to have like low rise pants and like slight midriff.
Yes.
Showing up below your shirt, and it was almost like, and then I always, I remember feeling bad that I had to put my shirt all the way down.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Like the lower stomach area has never been my best. So. Yeah.
I remember in high school, I got these like Abercrombie. I loved Abercrombie. I got these Abercrombie jeans and I would wear them even lower because like the area sort of below my stomach was flatter than the area on my stomach. So I would wear my like juicy jacket. Like, so it met that, and I was like, oh, cool, I have the midriff, when really this was, like, very close to my crotch. It was bad. Yeah. But anyway, so how did this affect you?
I just think that, like, this was sort of, like, burned in my brain as the goal. Like, look like them. Be their size. Have their straight hair.
I mean, remember when Hilary Duff had... anorexia.
Yeah.
She was like very anorexic, and like people were sort of like saying how,
like
good,
saying
she
like
looked.
Good job. Like, yeah, because right. She was, there's okay, another, and maybe I'll just combine my this with my next one, which is Bridget Jones being considered fat. There's so much wrapped up in not only what was like considered what you should be, but what was not okay. And knowing that, like, Hilary Duff was considered bigger when she was in Lizzie McGuire, and that, like, Bridget Jones was, like, a fat, considered, like, the stereotype of, like, a fat loser. Like,
And like just eating her, emotionally eating her, yeah, like Ben and Jerry's, right?
Yeah. Those messages of like,
Haagen-Dazs.
Of like, don't go. So combine the message of like, don't go above this weight with this magazine spread, which is like a map of what you should look like. Like that showed me I need to be in a very specific place weight wise.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, all these girls on this cover are like, were iconic, right? You had Mandy Moore. Not only was she like singing at the time, she was also like,
she was in the Princess Diaries. Cool
in the Princess Diaries and like A Walk to Remember.
Snoopy Coopy.
Lindsay Lohan, That's So Raven. Obviously, Mary-Kate and Ashley. Mary-Kate and Ashley were also, I was obsessed with Full House as a very young girl. And it, so much so that I gave myself the middle name Michelle after Michelle Tanner when I don't have a middle name or didn't. I was obsessed with them. And also, I remember when MK was very anorexic.
Yes.
That was also a thing. People were saying she looked great. And then, like, they were saying
I think people were concerned about her because she reached what society, like, that level that you get to where you're like allowed to be concerned back in the day.
But it was a look. It was a look, and everyone was talking about it. The fact that everybody was talking about it brought attention to it. And I don't think it was like that positive of a way.
No, I don't because think it was positive. Like,
not at all. They were like talking about how thin she was, regardless of whether or not they were saying she was healthy or unhealthy. They were just saying how thin she was. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember like these people were like Amanda Bynes. She was in all the classic movies. And just like all these people were, I guess maybe we idolized them without really knowing we idolized them.
Yeah.
Some more than others.
Definitely. And I did.
And I'm sure they were really, really pressured. Like in the OC, remember like Misha Barton was very, very thin. And she later talks about like when she was on The Hills this past couple years ago, talks about how fucked up like people like Perez Hilton and all the magazines made her feel about her size. And that's what sort of set her off when she kind of lost a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
lost her
a lot of these
stability.
This is not, this magazine spread is not a picture of like mental health necessarily.
No. It's just some like girls and moms.
Like if you made it out well, you ended up like Mandy Moore or Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
Like just basic, right, like normal people. You know?
Raven.
Yeah, Raven.
Rachel Evan.
I don't know what she's up to.
What do you mean?
Rachel Evan Wood.
She was in Westworld. Oh,
duh. I forgot about that.
But she did recently come out about her relationship with Marilyn Manson, about how was like sexually abusing her and all of this shit recently.
Alexis Bledel also seems like okay. She's married to Pete Campbell.
Right. And she's also on Handmaid's Tale. All besides the point.
Guys, as many of you know, I've been on an alcohol-free journey. Please don't hold it against me that I just said journey, but I have. And one thing that I've really missed on this journey is beer. But now with Athletic Brewing, I'm able to get that delicious beer-like taste in my mouth without any of the alcohol. It's amazing. Just so you guys know, I used to love sours. I'm a big sour drinker and I really miss that taste. And now I don't have to miss out on it. It's amazing. Whether you're trying to cut back or you just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is often a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs? Sweet fruity sours? Now you can enjoy this style without the hangover the next day. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic brews bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code DST to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's code DST at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. fit for all times.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of the OC, one of mine that is burned in my brain is Laguna Beach. In Laguna Beach, all of the girls were so glamorous and like they were fighting over this boy. And even them, I remember thinking like, even them, like at this thin weight, they still couldn't get the boy, right? And it was just like, to me, that was like saying like, oh, well, if they can't, I definitely can't. But I'm still gonna like, and they were also so rich and they also had the midriff showing all the time. And it was just like, it was, while it was so fun to watch, I think it affected me without realizing, like looking, the reason why, I don't think I even knew that it affected me until we did this exercise when we were thinking about it. And I'm like, Laguna Beach, because it was like this friends group. And there was like a lot of boy stuff. You know, I was boy crazy. So that boys' opinions really mattered to me. So it was just like a lot of that tied up in also like how they appeared. Yeah. And maybe somebody
right,
else.
And that is why body diversity and like representation are important.
Issues or body insecurities. And that is the, taken it that way. So, but me,
something that you said that's interesting really is something that like way. I still, because I feel like is a very young diversity. Thought, but also like, I'm sure everybody has it, which is like, well, if they can't get the guy, then like, how will I? Totally. That I think is like a big driver for women at a young age. Like they're comparing themselves to their other peer, like let's say it's a heterosexual situation, they're comparing themselves to their other female peers, and they're ranking their appearance and looks, attractiveness, next to those other people who are quote unquote competition. And they think, well, if this person only gets this, then I only will get this, you know. But what is missing from that message is that like we're actually human beings with like characters, and it doesn't just come down to like how blonde your hair is and like all this other stuff. And there's like mm-hmm. personalities and compatibility, and you have value outside of your looks. But that was never really conveyed via, yeah, no one told us. So, yeah.
No one said that. No one told us. All right, what's your next
one? So I already did Bridget Jones being considered fat, but, and this is also a later one.
Like crying into her ice cream.
Yeah, this is an older one. Yolanda Foster telling Gigi not to eat her birthday cake. This came at like post-college height of just like disordered eating. And Yolanda told Gigi not to eat her cake. Let's play the clip.
I'm so excited for the food. Pretty much all the food that we're eating is like a heart attack in a meal. It's like, but it's gonna be so good.
It's good. You're gonna have one night of being bad, right?
Yeah, I was actually really good this week.
Yeah. And then you gotta get back on your diet though.
Yeah.
Oh God. I also remember, okay, Yolanda also promoting the Master Cleanse. For like
Yolanda said
days,
a lot of really fucked up things. She also told Gigi, like Gigi was at a modeling shoot and they told her like not to make her eyes look Asian. Gigi told her workers in her house not, like they had to learn to speak English. Like you live in America. Like, and then, and oh, she, yes. They're at the birthday party. She actually like, Gigi, like she told her not to eat the cake. Like all of this, like, yeah, Yolanda has some pretty fucked up things.
The almonds, remember the almonds? Like, wasn't that like, don't eat too many almonds?
I think so. She told her not to wear basketball shorts because she'll look like or not to play volleyball because she'll look like a lesbian. Like, Yolanda really said some bad shit.
Some fucked up shit.
Yolanda is kind of like, if you want to hear everything everyone was complaining about, like, during like June of last year, just watch Yolanda Foster like move through the world. Like they're like, seriously. She's the problem. So yeah, that was an older thing, but I at the height of like Victoria's Secret fashion show glory. That was like what I was hearing.
The thing about that and like listening to sort of us listening to hearing that back and like trying to put myself in that like position of watching it, I remember like at a very, we're very vulnerable, right? Watching it, we don't have the like the mental strength to say this is fucked up, or even if we say it's fucked up, we're sort of thinking that it's true. So I remember like even watching it, my fear is like everyone thinks this,
yeah,
like, but Yolanda is just saying it, and that's like, oh, this is true, like I shouldn't eat my birthday cake either, but I'm a fat ass, like even though I maybe wasn't, you know, like that. I think that is also a part of all of it, is that everybody watching, even though it is kind of ridiculous, and but then you watch Gigi take it and she's like, and then Yolanda also is like, her mom give telling her you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't.
Yeah, they like them a little on the skinnier side in Milan.
And then you think about your own relationship with your mom and like, you know, you're like, oh, you know, everybody thinks this about, maybe everybody thinks this about me when I eat.
Yep.
You know, that's the really like fucked up part. Fucking Yolanda and her fucking.
Yeah, this was a bad one.
I really want to watch that again. That was a really bad one. Okay, my next one. I think everyone knows this one. It is from Friends, Monica. Monica, as when she is quote unquote fat, like the whole thing about Monica's personality, that she used to be fat and she lost a lot of weight. How, even though that really makes sense for her character, it, when they do the flashbacks, and even though the script is so funny, like it is really funny, they just refer to her as like Monica's fat sister. They refer to her as like with the way that her mom like sort of is like, oh honey, no, like they sort of refer, like the parents and the flashbacks, while they are very funny, it's really fucked up the way that they're like, oh no, like she, they push her to the side, like, oh, they make a lot of fat jokes about her being fat, and you, the more you hear it and the more you hear the laugh track about it, and the more that you're just like, is everyone thinking this about me too?
Well, it's also like they only put that in so they could make jokes about it, like they did, like they, right. Like that was the purpose of that device, is so that they could make fat jokes, because fat jokes were funny, like they were widely considered funny.
I laughed. Yeah. I thought it was funny. Like, even though I didn't know what it was really doing to me at the time. And I get why it's not no longer okay. But I still thought it was, like, funny. But it's, like, a cheap joke.
Also, let's talk about how the unreality of that she would have gone from that size to her current size. It's a lie.
Right.
Like,
It really makes so much sense for her personality, like the super type A, like goes on this like intense diet and loses a lot of weight, and then her parents are proud of her.
Yeah,
like that's a big part of it. Chandler was into her though. At first, they were saying, "Oh, you're a fat sister," and then it's kind of like he's kind of a loser with his flock of seagulls haircut, right. You know. And he did get into her, and then she chopped his toe off, remember, like accidentally, like she's trying to seduce. Oh no, that's when she was skinny.
Yeah, no, he didn't get into her till she was skinny.
He wasn't into her, then she lost weight, and then she was like, I lost all this weight, now I'm gonna try to seduce him. And then,
yeah, how's that message?
It's like, what that message was very direct to me. Yeah. When I watched that, it one to one, I was like, oh shit, well I guess I gotta lose weight if I want Chandler with this lock of seagulls haircut, which is ridiculous to begin with, and then like he deserved his toe being cut off. But I watched Friends like with my eyes wide open. I didn't blink. I loved it so much. I also really admired the writing because it was really good writing. But then, you know, you just, there were the fat jokes and cheap jokes, that was like a thing of like the
totally
time. So it wasn't just Friends, and I'm not blaming Friends for it, but that as a character, like Monica as a character, as like fat, yeah, Monica is burned in my totally brain. Another funny scene though was when she comes, she's like, they're like, oh, Monica, did you lose weight? Just like as like a cut. She's like, yeah, 2 pounds. Can you
remember like that? See? Yeah.
Do you remember that? I thought that was like hilarious. Very, very accurate. All right. What's yours?
Okay.
Next one.
Just a pause. I'm going to skip Mary-Kate and Ashley in so little time because I literally just talked about them on this magazine cover and there's not a specific thing. So I'm just going to skip to Disney.
That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. My next thing, we're going back to really, really young and we're going to talk about Disney for a little bit. I was especially thinking about this because when I interviewed Malcolm Gladwell, his whole thing is like recreating The Little Mermaid for like a number of reasons. But then I started thinking about it from like a weight and appearance perspective. And when you think about like the Disney princesses, they all look like fucking ridiculous. Like they look like they're wearing a Victorian corset under their animated dress and their eye, basically yeah. The way that Disney princesses are animated, they're animated to look like impossibly beautiful.
Like
the man drew like this imagine. Yeah, completely. Like that is how they're animated. And then.
And they're also like young.
Yeah, they're also like 13. Weird. Yeah. Fucking creepy. So. Were no, I 13? Don't know, but they're not old. Like, yeah.
No.
But then more on the flip side, the villains, like, let's say Ursula, fat, yeah. Ugly, another color. Same with like, even like the villains are always ugly and weird looking and deformed, even if they're not fat. Like then you have, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
And I think that there was like this equivalence and it basically like reinforced that moral equivalence of like the good protagonist is beautiful and thin and look has these dimensions and her eyes are going to pop out of her fucking head and she looks like Kim Kardashian before the surgery, like, or after the surgery, like as Jasmine, let's say, because like whatever. And then you see the villains who are equated as being like bad, morally evil. And they look fat and ugly. And it's just like when you're a kid and you're taking that message in over and over and over again from different Disney movies, it definitely is sending you a message about like what the reflection of someone's exterior is on their interior. And I just, yeah.
The witch. In
yeah,
Snow White.
The witch, the beast, his punishment for being an asshole is he gets turned ugly, like, and fat. Or a beast, like, I don't know.
And yet he still gets the girl.
Dad
the
bod.
Messages from men are much different.
Yeah, like, right. They like women. So, yeah, that's what I got to say about that. What's your next one?
That's, so I have two. One is, I don't know if this one's that obvious, but it was one of the first things that I thought of when we were discussing this. The movie Shallow Hal.
Yeah,
fucked up, totally. Movie. So annoying. What I appreciate about the movie is at least they call out Jack Black for being a loser. Like, that's the premise. Basically, the premise is that he's this kind of big loser, and he meets Tony Robbins, and he's, like, really superficial. He's shallow.
Hal.
And his name is Hal. And Tony Robbins, like, puts a hex on him, and he... Now he only sees beauty from the inside. So basically the movie then goes on and he meets all these women who are not perfect and he's in love with them and he's obsessed with them because he sees them as perfect. And by perfect, the biggest example is like, but then everybody else, like Jason Alexander is like the sidekick, sees them in real life. So what happens is he meets Gwyneth Paltrow and Gwyneth, he sees her as Gwyneth, like the Gwyneth we know, but in what Jason Alexander and the rest of the world sees and you see also is Gwyneth in a fat suit and that's kind of it. There's other characters also that would not fly in 2021. Also Jason Alexander has like a tail, like that I found funny. But the idea... Like, I get the idea, like, the premise, like, it makes sense. It's fucking annoying, but it's just, like, the fact that Gwyneth, he can only see, her beauty is only from the inside when he sees her as thin.
Yes.
Is the fucked up part. And I, that also burned in my brain. Because Gwyneth, in reality, he would never see her. And I mean, maybe it's a lesson in that, like, a lot of men are superficial and that they don't see beauty from within, which Tony Robbins, good job. But the fact that they're using examples of for women who are overweight or just not, don't look like Gwyneth Paltrow. It was really just like an annoying movie. It's one of those movies that, like, you just wish a lot of men didn't watch.
Yeah. Cause it's like, you know, it's what like I mean? They probably thought, okay, yeah, same. Like I see that.
Right.
And it's like, oh, so they're validated.
Maybe
in it.
Well, like, what's the message? What's the moral of this story? Oh, maybe I should give ugly women a chance. Like, that's the basically what they're saying. Because there was like other, it was like, remember like the hot girls he meets at the club, and then Jason Alexander's like, are you fucking kidding me? Do you remember that
I
scene?
Don't really remember
like,
it.
I implore people to watch this. I watch this movie.
Okay. I don't really remember any details.
Also, I don't like Jack Black.
Yeah.
I don't find him entertaining. Anyway, do we have the clip?
Oh, there she is. There's Rosemary.
Where?
Right there. Is she behind the rhino?
That was in the commercial.
Oh, yes. That's when...
I can picture her walking in the commercial.
Calling her a fucking rhino?
Yes, I know. That just really went. I don't remember the movie. Here's the thing. I don't actually remember a single thing from the movie. All I remember is that commercial where she's walking and she, and yeah.
This movie was definitely burned in my brain. I remember watching it thinking, oh, I should find this funny, but somehow there's something fucked up about it that I can't quite put my finger on. I have one more I want to share, and I feel like this is more recent. It was more in college, and it is Snooki.
Yeah.
Just Snooki's general presence on Jersey Shore. Fast forward to Snooki when she has a baby, then loses all her weight, and then becomes respected in society. So Snooki, even though in my head I was thinking, oh, Snooki's not respected because she's overweight, and they like call her a gremlin, things like that, or like, I liked that she had a lot of confidence, but she also drank so much. So that's part of why I think a lot of people didn't respect Snooki.
I mean, the show wasn't like built on like respect for the characters. Come on.
I know, but like she was sort of seen as a joke, even though JWoww like also got really drunk.
Right.
You know?
She was the prime joke.
Right. She was the joke because of her appearance. But she also got messier than JWoww. But in my head, the way that I interpreted it was, again, because of my perspective, or my own insecurities I was projecting, is because she wasn't respected because she was overweight. Not because she was a messy drunk, because I was in college. Everybody was. Well, at least I definitely was. But that really affected me because I was like, I'm short. And now do people see me like that too? And it was like such a point for me of just this is now a relatable character, but one that I'm not sure I should be relating to because of the way that others treat her.
Right.
Fast forward again, she quote unquote gets her life together because she gets pregnant with what's his face? JWoww, her now husband, and she loses a lot of weight. She like works with this trainer, lose a lot of weight, is this mother, and now she's so
totally respected. Then they're like businesswoman.
So and they put her on the cover of things. Her weight loss is like constantly a thing. I like remember wanting to find out the cost of how much her trainer Michael,
I kind of remember that conversation, yeah,
like, charges. Yeah, it was like a big thing. Like, that's how you turn your life around. You lose a fuck ton of weight and people start to like you again. So even though she really stops like drinking as much, but now in Jersey Shore, I think she drinks a lot.
I don't watch it
as much. But Snooki to me was, she was like, I loved the show, but I had like this love hate relationship with her character. And just because it was real, a lot of mine are reality, like Laguna.
Yeah. Snooki. Because you're seeing producers turn
a real person into a caricature based, and often that's based on appearance. And so there's something more real about it than just like, you know, a man drawing like a hot Disney character because he like would be attracted to it.
Right. Yeah. And just like the relationship, the way that men treated her and like the way that she was sort of rejected. And she was like, well, fuck that. I'm just going to get drunker and just get with whoever I want. And like she tries to hook up with all the guys in the house and they like sort of laugh it off and then they're embarrassed by it. It sends a lot of messages like to guys too about like you can laugh at women.
Yeah, completely. All right. Thank you for listening to all the things that have fucked us up psychologically. For next week's episode, you all sent us in what fucked up you psychologically. So we're going to go through those and talk about like more instances of this and like
we have lots of sound clips
and
ready.
We're going to, you know, start to interpret those. So that'll be our next episode. And yeah, in the meantime, be sure to sign up for DST Back for Seconds, where we give even more personal details about our lives. And you get two exclusive bonus episodes a month where we dive a little deeper into more personal things. Plus, you get all of the existing episodes a day early and ad-free. But if you don't want to be a subscriber to Back for Seconds and you want to just stay a regular fan, you will still be getting all the things that you're used to. And we would really appreciate if you would rate, review, and subscribe and follow us on Apple and Spotify. Email us at dst@betches.com. Follow us on our social medias. I'm at Sammy. Aileen is at Aileen. And wow, we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Betches.